That's my windshield after a wild turkey crashed into my car on a way. Did you get to see that? I don't know if I can share it.
Wow.
So, if you think your spiritual life will protect you from wild turkeys, I'm here to disabuse you of that. And all of the things that follow a crashed window shield on the way to seeing a doctor to give you a shot for a steroid shot for pain, who turns out not to deliver steroid shots. But with a very sympathetic ear, and then to sit in the one place in the entire doctor's office that had Wi-Fi reception, trying to get a hold of AAA, which was an hour wait, trying to get a hold of someone who could repair the window. I drove all the way there looking like this because I decided I didn't want to sit on the side of the road waiting for service. Could never get a hold of the window repair place, so I called a taxi to drive me there, arranged for the people to pick up my car at some point during the day and drive it there. The story goes on and on. Nothing about it was fun, but here's some of the important takeaways. We are not special. Life is what happens. That turkey flying into my car was such a bomb blasting in front of me that I could have lost control of the car. I was shattered with glass in my arms and my hands, all over the seat, everywhere. And the clarity of my brain at that moment was so profound and so clear-headed that it guided the car to safety without hitting anybody. It told me what to do. I didn't have panic. I didn't have fear. I thought for a brief moment that this was the end of my life because I didn't know how far that glass would go. I didn't know how impactful it would be, but it was a massive collision. And I felt profoundly human, vulnerable, not particularly spiritual, very awake, surprisingly awake to the moment. In a sense, I knew if the universe did not slow stuff down and make it possible for me to know where to drive the car, steer the car, how to comprehend the next minutes and hours of my life, I would have very likely not been sitting here. And that is a real wake-up call. When you have that kind of collision force. I mean, I know that's what Rudy experienced in the airplane, in the last minute of his life, like that. And I know I've been training and talking about this a lot because I've talked about this idea of being blindsided by the inevitable. You know, we all have this wonderful dream image, and I think I must talk about it in this class more than I should. You know, of lying on the bed and the family's all there and you guys are all writing or calling or sending notes or standing there. You know, all that sweet stuff and the Hollywood ending, you know, like perfect, everything is like the way it's supposed to wrap up. And I've been explained in various ways now that it isn't necessarily like that. That endings come unexpectedly out of nowhere. And either your life of training prepares you to go, asso, yes, or you fight it. Fighting is not the way to go. Resistance is not the way to go. Overcoming resistance is at the core of a spiritual practice. Learning to just go, this is what happens. This is happening. And many of us have heard the phrase, life is what happens. It's very real. Life is what happens, not what you plan, not what you expect, but how do you integrate it? How do you open to it? How do you accept it? How do you embrace what is even when it's nothing, nothing that you would want or like, and that everything comes after it is insulting. You know, the waiting on the phone calls, the, you know, the incredible kind of lack of support that the universe seems to pull away at various times. How do you deal with that? The moment-to-moment insult of being alive? Well, it's everything we've talked about in this class. It's being still-pointed. It's being quiet. It's being asum. And you just accept and deal with both the inaction and then the action. What do you do? What do you not do? How do I open? How do I respond? How do I stay quiet? And I have to say, 52 years of training was in play. I watched it work. It didn't say I love what's happening. I didn't say it should be otherwise. I wish it was different. It just went, this is what is. This is what is. And you are going to have to open to and deal with the what is every second, and how easy it is to not be able to do that. How easy it is to just collapse inside. And I could feel I was trying to type phone numbers. I typed the wrong numbers over and over. I missed numbers. And I could feel my nervous system was really not working the way it should. And I had to slow down over and over and over and go, no, this number, this number, this number, like that, and find my way into the future, if you will. But the future is an unfolding of present tense. How do you open to the present tense with clarity, without anxiety, without anger, without fury, without shutting the system down, which is how many people respond, and how I likely would have responded at any other point in my life. The idea that I was having a wake-up call was very powerful. I didn't know what it meant. Why out of the blue does a wild turkey, can't tell you, a massive turkey, fly directly into my windshield, like that. But the other question is, why not? You know, what are the rules of the game that we're in? And in a way, there aren't any. And if there are rules, they come down, as I've learned over the last so many years now, the only rule is open and accept what is. Open and accept. And the more you can open and the more you accept, the more you discover what a miracle and blessing every moment of existence is. Every moment of existence. If you have a life with partnership, you discover, as I say now weekly, what a blessing it is to have a wife like Blanche, to have someone who's there, who cares, holds your hand, somebody who's part of your support in life. But if you don't, and many people don't, what do you have? You have this inner space that loves you and cares about you and is available to you and will reach out and hold you, take you, and guide you. You do, trust me. And if you have learned how to access that space in your life, you can actually go there and feel connected and protected even in the worst of moments. That is the gift of the silent, quiet, simple approach to opening yourself to the universe, to going deep, to not just living in the outer extremity of things where life comes and blindsides you like that and you get angry and hostile and you want to hurt people and you want to yell and you want to scream and you want to go, why me, God? And you want to do all of that stuff. That is not the answer. It will haunt you. It will cause greater grief. The answer is slow down, get quiet, feel the directive. What is the directive? Pull the car over to the side of the road. Do I sit here Do I call AAA and miss my doctor's appointment and my shot? No. I'm 8 miles away on Kingston and driving through, you know, God knows what, looking like this through the windshield. And it just guided me. It guided me. The police didn't stop me. Nobody said anything. People looked at the car in the parking lot. I could see that. I was a kind of a weird figure, but I really got where I had to go. The appointment was very disappointing, but for a moment I felt I had an advocate. And then I realized I don't have an advocate. There's no advocate for me outside. There's not a single person, doctor, anyone out there who can move things along for me. The first appointment that I have to help me is in October. That's a long way to go. And the reason I was going there is because the back pain that I've had has started to creep up again. I don't want to talk about this stuff, and I really don't want you guys telling me how to fix it. But it's really painful. And it's more pain than I've had since my shoulder, which was a year ago. And I talked a lot about that. It keeps you up all night because there's not one position you can get into that will be comforting. The medication they gave me in the emergency room last week was unbelievably, instantaneously wonderful. All the pain went away. I went, oh. And I just felt saved. I felt taken care of. I felt everything was fine. And by the next day, not working. And I had to be an advocate again for myself. And the only advocacy I find is go deep inside and touch this space that takes you moment to moment to moment. That's all I know. And that advocacy is yourself. Your true self cares about you deeply. And it will do this thing that is something I've talked about a lot recently. It will at moments completely abandon you. And you will look for help and it will not be there. I think if Rudy were here talking about this, he would say that means go deeper. Go deeper. Find this depth. And the depth that I think you find is turn your attention away from you to the what is, which means other, to those around you. And what happens when you do that, and I talked about this last year when it first started to instruct me, what happens when you turn away from other is you cannot believe how deeply opening pain is and what it does to you in terms of loving the other, loving life, loving the poignancy of each moment as it arises. I've described this to you before. This house, for me, I don't understand this house, but there is not one direction I turn where I'm not fed something that just says, yes, this is restorative, this is comforting, this is beautiful. I feel for some reason at this moment in time, I am being given a kind of paradisical space to live in a state of pain. What do you do with that? What does one do with that? I don't have answers. I can only tell you, as it goes deeper and deeper, the miraculous wonder of it reveals itself. I have less knowledge today than I've ever had, less awareness than I've ever had. Little pockets of things start to come through that are very clarifying, and I don't know what to do with them. Blanche and I were watching a CNN special on Jerusalem, first episode last week, which talks about the birth of Judaism. And I'm Jewish, and I have always had Sunday school stories about King David and King Solomon and all these tribes of Israel. And I've always known them from very young age as a certain kind of worldview. King David was a guy with a slingshot, killed Goliath. Solomon told these two women who claimed the baby was both theirs that cut it in half and take half. And so he was full of wisdom. This show just completely shattered all of that. Solomon killed half of his family so he could be king. David did terrible, awful things in the world. And they were warriors and they were killing people in other tribes. In their tribe, they decided Jerusalem was their capital, and therefore they could kill all the people in Jerusalem and take it for themselves. And I started looking through the prism of what's happening today in our world. Just turn on the news, and the viciousness and the mean-spiritedness and the battle zones that exist everywhere to this day. And I thought I was in a religion of, you know, that carried the holy books, the Torah, you know, and truth and understanding. And I suddenly all of that just went poof. And I went, wow, I'm 78 years old. And why is all that stuff suddenly disappearing from me? Why did all these belief systems that carried me in some childlike way through life suddenly go, nope, not like that. This world is a really embattled space. This is a really difficult world we live in. But, and this is really important, what do we do in that world? I don't have a clue about where it comes from, why it happens, how it manifested. I mean, I have ideas. I've had experiential connection to something that's so much bigger than the world, that this world seems like a bit of a virtual reality play that's just happening for whatever reason. I don't know, I tell you this weekly, but what I do know is that in the midst of this darkening that's happening around us, which is really not different than what's always been there from pre-Christian times, you know, from ancient times, this darkening of the world also exposes us to the light of the world. And the light is inside. And as this pain of looking at the world, of what's happening in Afghanistan, Ethiopia, I mean, you can go on and on right now, Haiti, I mean, it's like, oh my God. And then what's happening with the pandemic? And everybody said, oh, we're free of the pandemic. At least a lot of people felt that. And we see this, we're not free of anything. We are in a world that is what it has always been. And in a world that has always been thus, what's the great pattern of holding us together in all of this? And that is this depth of connectivity to the self, to us, to this touching of the self, knowing this place inside that says, come on in, you're okay. Yes, it's dark out there. Yes, that's the yin and yang of existence. Yes, we all are part of this very complicated world. But we are also the witness and the source. And as you start to touch witness and source, it does not elevate you into, I'm blessed and I'm special and I'm better than everybody and I'm awake and you're not, too bad. You know, what it really does is it makes you feel, it makes you feel connected to this profound unknowing. But it is profound. I mean, I look at my wife, I look at my grandchildren, I look at my children, I look at all of you out there and here with so much love. And I sit down here when I am asked to teach something I feel endlessly incapable of doing. And I sit down here and they say, okay, Bruce, use us. And they put me out of the way and they come through. They, we called it the guys upstairs. It comes through and it goes out and it loves you. It loves you. And I cannot tell you why it loves you as much as it does, but I know it does. And it loves me, which is the last thing I remember. I'm always there to serve it, but then it has to remind me, no. You're part of this. You're part of the whole. You are worthy of love. And that's really important. And then every so often they go, turkey into your windshield. And you have to look at that and go, they're talking to me. They're talking to me. You know, you are not going to escape this. You're not going to move from the existential truth that this thing comes to an end. It can come to an end like that. It may have come to an end last Thursday. It could have come to an end. And part of me, I can't explain it, was very awake to that. It was just very awake. It just went, okay, I'm still driving. The steering wheel hurts because it's covered in glass. Got glass in my arms and I'm going, okay, I can see. I can go, I stop the car, clarity comes, no panic, grace, really, grace coming through from all angles, no understanding, no clarity, but they want clarity is the wrong word, no way to put it into perspective other than to say, this is what's happening. Go forward. And then it told me what to do with great simplicity. I think it will do that for every one of you. And the more you open to your own ride, to your own life, to your own inner connection, the more you will be informed. What scares me is watching the news and seeing so many uninformed people around us and knowing they do not know. They don't know that the vaccine is good. I know that's going to be an argument for some people. To me, that's not an argument. They don't trust. They don't believe. They claim to have trust and belief in something greater until that thing starts to happen. And then, as they were saying on the news the other night, people dying on their respirators saying, can I have the vaccine now? They go, no, too late, too late. They didn't believe. These are people with strong belief systems that we're all being taken care of by this greater force. Well, that's a great belief. But if you don't live that, if you don't know that, if you haven't inculcated that in some profound inner way, it's just a mindset. It's like a thing that you learned in Sunday school. Oh, yes, I believe, I believe. And, you know, you go to church and you go to synagogue and mosque and temples and you think you've got it down until the depth of the truth of what is going to occur in your life starts to show itself. That is not the best time to learn. You do not want to learn while you're on a respirator that you haven't figured it out, that you don't know how to believe, that you don't trust anything. Terrible moment. Now, for all I know, every one of those people will, like everybody else, ultimately be embraced and taken in. And we'll all be fine. And all of these years of spiritual practice may have been completely beside the point. Maybe in the end, you got it. You touched it. You're there. They love you again. You're back in the embrace of the what is. But I will tell you, 52 years of sitting in spiritual practice may not just be about the last moment of your life. It's also about every moment of your life. And I have had the most extraordinary journey, the most beautiful journey. And I've had it because I was told early on, sit still, open your heart, open your mind, open your gut, and be present, be fearless, go forward, embrace this life, embrace this being that you are, and discover what you're here for. And I'll tell you, one of the really interesting things, sorry, I get sidetracked a lot, but I know a lot of you for a long time. And one of the things I've learned now over all these years of teaching is you don't change very much. Very few of you have changed personalities. You're the same people I knew when I knew you years ago. Some of you, there's very little alteration in any sense, not most of you, but what I have discovered is that what you are has deepened, expanded, opened to itself, and found a kind of fullness in life. Whatever it is you're here to do, I've watched it happen. And I watch Marty and her paintings, and I watch them expand and grow and evolve, and I see the incredible sort of ongoing directive to know and explore self. And I go, you know, your personality is still the same personality I knew in Bloomington. But your being is so beyond that. And your husband and your marriage and the dynamic of your lives is so rich to me, so wonderful to me. And I know it has all the stuff it had when you started, and there's good and there's difficulty and struggle, and there is this amazing connectivity that exists. And all I can tell you is spiritual life gives you that. Spiritual life, the fact that you've sat for all these years, has given you this amazing playing field in which you can get to know who you are. And it's beautiful. And I see this everywhere. I see people finding themselves. It's not to change you into being a different personality. It's not to make you likable. It's not to make you safe from turkeys. It's really, its whole idea is to make you you, to become a human being, as deep, as fulfilled, as awake, as available as possible. And the value of that is you will experience moments, grace notes, or symphonic moments of joy, beauty, love, the miraculous, the unknowable, the ungraspable, and you will say thank you. You will say thank you in a profound way, in ways that many people never do, ways many people can't. Some people's lives are so full of suffering and so full of difficulty and have so little light shed in them. But I will tell you, the problem is not the world. The problem is they have not found the directive to go inside and discover it, because there's no human being, I don't care where you live, what country you're in, what society you're in, how horrible it is, there is that light inside. I watch these girls in Afghanistan whose schools are blown up, and you know, the horrible things they're experiencing with the Taliban. They speak with light in their hearts. And I look at them and I go, yeah, that's it. It's that thing. It's whatever. Life is not predictable. It's not easy. Stuff happens. It can be awful what happens. But that light is inextinguishable. You cannot extinguish it. You cannot take it away ever, ever. I think if I'm wrong about that, you can come back from the grave and haunt me or yell at me down the road. But I don't think I'm wrong about it. I really believe we're all here. We're all here to talk about, to experience, to touch and share the light of being, no matter what life throws at you or has crashed into your car. You are here to be the light. And that's what this is about. I don't know how many of these talks I can keep giving that say anything else. I would love to find a new way of getting at this for you so that you could go, oh, I finally get it. Here's the problem. You're never going to get it. There is no one to get it. That's the whole thing. The whole ultimate teaching is get out of the way and stop trying. It's already gotten. It's already here. This is it. The person who tries to get it separates you from the truth. The person who thinks they can understand it is already the obstruction to knowledge. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Just be with what happens. What happens is it. And, you know, if you can find a belief in this idea of God or truth of God or presence or love or goodness or whatever you name it, get there. Find it. Hold it. Expand it. Breathe into it. Live this life as profoundly as you can, because that's what you've got. And you are blessed beyond belief to be here to witness the poignancy of every moment of your life. Life's what happens. Enjoy the happening. Any questions? Yes.
Yeah, I'm curious where the turkey was. Was he on Turkey Hill Road?
No.
Okay. I just wondering if we had to be careful.
Well, Turkey Hill Road, I know we have turkeys here, and one tried to break into our house.
Yeah. It was supposed to be very generous. It's a sign of a gift.
That's very nice. But we were sitting having dinner, and all of a sudden we hear in our back door, and we thought it was a bear breaking into the house or worse. And we jump up, and there's a turkey smashing into the door.
It
has its own image right downstairs. Yeah, and it was the loudest sound I ever heard until the one in my car. So this is turkey number two. And we live on Turkey Hill Road. You tell me what that's all about. Will, you can explain that to me. I really don't know. But I do know, I watch the turkeys walk on our property, and they do with their little ones. And they're very proud and very easy. They just defend their property against the image in a window. They do. And flying in front of your car was just stupidity and its part. Or it was the universe saying, Bruce, I'm sacrificing a turkey to talk to you. And that's apparently what it did. I don't know exactly what it said, but this class is kind of a way of getting at it, because I don't have all the answers, but it was powerful. Anybody else have a question? Turkey Day. Thanksgiving will be different from now on. I won't have to buy a turkey, we'll just crash into one.
Maybe have ham instead.
Ham is a great idea. Thanks. Yeah. So, okay, I assume this is the end of it. My the coming weeks are now very much in flux. Blanche and I were going to go to Washington, D.C. to help Ari move to Orlando, my son Ari. But because my back is not in full control, I don't know that I can sit on the train for 7 hours or do stuff like that. So I don't know what's going to happen. I think next week, I think I may be available to teach the class in California on Zoom, and then we'll hopefully be back here in 2 weeks again. And everyone who's here is welcome to come again if you're available. And if you're not, you're welcome to Zoom now that you've all had the introductory class. And if you want to go find another teacher in the world, God bless. I totally am respectful of waiting to find the right teacher for you. It took me a long time. You just get to find the person who speaks to you. Thank you. Love you all. And see you again soon.